Yo, that was amazing, guys. Really, really good. So, this is a slightly lighter note, but at the same time, it's also really, really amazing. So, I'm going to ask you, are you prepared for battle? Sure, okay. Let's try that again. Are you prepared for battle? Okay. I'm trying to get you a little bit psyched up now. There was a little bit too much emotion. Now we need a different kind of emotion. Okay. Are you ready for battle? Are you courageous? Are you brave? Are you willing to be a volunteer? I need one volunteer. Mia. Okay. Yeah, no guns today. Slightly different. So, Mia, you are going to battle, okay? The first thing we do when we go to battle is we make sure that we are equipped for battle. So we're going to make sure that you are equipped. It's your helmet. There we go. I made pasta today, so that's not clean. You're going to put that on you? Okay. So, you are now equipped for battle. All right. But, if I had to give you a choice, Mia, you can choose what you are wearing now, or you can wear this. Cool. So you're going with a colander and the tray, right? You're going with that outfit. Okay, you're going with that. Awesome. Okay, thank you. You can take a seat.
Don't worry, it's okay. I saw the spiritual buff, okay.
Yeah. Thank you. Well done, Mia. Ready for battle. What happens next? It's an Ironman marathon when everyone gets home. So, we obviously know where we're going with this. Are you ready for battle? But when Paul wrote about the armor of God, we need to also consider the context that he was actually living in at the time. You see, so in that time, they had Roman soldiers around them everywhere. And what Paul was doing was Paul was taking pieces of armor and he was using it to symbolize tools that God has given us to fight the battle of this world. So we need to ask ourselves, who are we fighting? Why are we fighting? And what are these tools that we have been given? So in Ephesians 6, verse 11, which I'm sure you have all read and heard before, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, Take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And much like Brett has been preaching over the last 2 weeks, we all know that sin makes us vulnerable. And life is a battle. And the life that we are living is full of these things that tempt us. But what God has done is He has given us this armor of God, which we can use as tools to make sure that all these temptations don't cause us to crumble. So I'm sure you have all heard, as I said, about the armor of God. You've read the verses. If you've possibly served at kids' church, you know the song. It goes a little bit like this. I'm not going to sing. Not today. But what I am going to do is I'm going to quickly go through the armor of God, and then I'm going to ask you just a few questions. So the belt of truth. It says, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. You see, at school or at work, it's sometimes difficult to always tell the truth. It sometimes can be almost a little bit easier to do the opposite. It can be easier to tell a lie. But the word tells us in John 14, verse 6, and we actually sang it this evening, which was amazing. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You see, Jesus is the truth. Honesty, integrity, character, Jesus. These are all other words for the word truth. Can you imagine if you left home without wearing your belt? What would happen? We're all the little giggles over here. They know what's going to happen. We take our belt off and we go out. We're going to end up with our pants around our ankles. That's going to be rather embarrassing. And the same thing goes for the belt of truth. If we leave home without the belt of truth as a tool, a defensive tool against this world, the consequences of our lies are going to result in an embarrassing moment, a moment where our pants will be down at our ankles, and it will be difficult to walk in this life that Jesus has set before us. The second is the breastplate of righteousness. This breastplate, which is a lot better than that baking tin, covers our entire chest. It protects all our vital organs. But most importantly, it protects our heart. The word righteousness means to be in right standing with God. But what does right standing with God mean? Right standing means to be in union with God, to be following God's will for us. But we can only follow God's will through Jesus Christ. Proverbs 4 verse 23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. There are so many yucky things in this world. I said yucky, yes. Yucky things. And those things want to come into our heart. And like Proverbs says, everything we do flows from it. So if we allow those yucky things to come into our heart, we are going to start speaking yucky things. We are going to start behaving. We are going to start acting out of a place of that yuckiness. So what is the best thing that we can do? Is we can make sure that we are in right standing with God, protecting our heart with the breastplate of righteousness. Then the sandals of the gospel of peace. The word says, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. So when do you put your shoes on? I put my shoes on when I'm busy getting ready to go somewhere. And I put my shoes on because I have very gentle feet. And I can't walk on stones and rocks. So I wear my shoes when I am getting ready to go and do something. And you see, knowing the gospel, knowing that Jesus died for me, died for my sins, so that I can be reunited with God in heaven, gives me a sense of peace. It fills me with peace. And from that peace, I can very easily go and tell others about my salvation. Tell others the good news of what Jesus has done for them. Fourth, we have the shield of faith. Take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. So these flaming arrows can be anything from the devil, but they come as lies. And they can come in many different forms. It can be fear. It can be doubt. It can be judgment. But these flaming arrows, much like a soldier who trusts his shield, when he sees those flaming arrows come at him, he lifts his shield and he blocks those arrows. So too can we trust God. When those arrows are coming, we can trust God by grace through faith. We can trust that he will protect us from these lies of the enemy. Fifth, we have the helmet of salvation. You see, the helmet protects our minds and our thoughts. And your mind and your thoughts are like the bullseye for Satan. What he's doing is he's aiming those arrows straight at your mind, those lies. All he wants to do is get that lie into your thought. Because if that lie can make a home in your mind, that home then turns into a stronghold. And that stronghold is his way of controlling you. So put on your helmet. Wear your helmet daily, protecting your mind from those lies. The word tells us that we need to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. You see, if our salvation is rooted in who I am in Jesus Christ, if my salvation is rooted in my identity in Christ, then we are able to take those thoughts. The devil's going to sow a lie, and we are able to then say, I am saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, by grace, through faith. I am his. I belong to him. And those lies will not be able to make a home and make a stronghold in our mind. And then lastly, the sword. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. This is the only piece of armor that is for offense, for attacking, not for defense. The rest of all the others were a defensive weapon. Here we're going to attack with the sword. In Matthew 4, when Jesus was in the desert and Satan came and tempted him, was Jesus defensive? No, Jesus attacked him, attacked how he was trying to tempt him with the scripture. He used scripture against the devil as an attacking weapon. And we can do exactly the same thing. When we are feeling weak, we can say to ourselves, when we are feeling like our flesh is slowly giving into this temptation, this addiction that is trying to make a stronghold in my life, we can say to that temptation, God is my refuge. He is my strength. And that can build up our faith. We can use scripture to attack. But in order to do that, we need to be spending time in the Word. We need to actually be meditating on the Word. We need to be remembering it so that when that time comes, we've got it. It's locked and loaded. It's like out of my sword sheath thingy, and I am just ready to just attack. But it needs to be ready. Psalm 119, verse 11 says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. If we ensure that scripture is placed in our heart ready for that attack of the devil, we can use it to attack again. And very much like what just happened now, it was just so amazing to see. What happened earlier on was an outward working of exactly what I'm preaching. With the armor of God, we are defensive. But through the sword of the Spirit and through prayer, we can attack the lies that the enemy is placing in our minds. all those things that everyone was struggling with, those were things that the enemy was sowing in their life. And through prayer, through the word, through speaking and praying in the spirit, those tongues, it was so amazing to see that that is what happened this evening. Because that's what I'm trying to show you. The sword of the Spirit, praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit, can strengthen our faith and can help us attack the devil. So I want to ask you, before I ask you, so now that we know about the armor, so now I've got the armor, okay? We've got a, I don't have all the armor and some of it's broken, but we can pretend, right? This is all pretend. I left the sandals at home. Okay. But what I'm trying to say here is that now that we know about all these things, I'm going to now take my shield and I'm going to, I don't know, brasso. I'm going to polish this and then I'm going to put it in a nice pile and I'm going to leave it in the corner of my room. And then I'm going to go out to work knowing that my armor is nice and shiny at home. That's not going to help me. In order for the armor of God to help us, we need to have it with us wherever we go. We need to wear it daily. We need to wear it daily because our lives are a battle. Remember, Ephesians 6 said, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it is against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Shorten that a bit. Ephesians 6, go back to my first slide. 12 is, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood." Thank you, AV team. So, having said all of that, I want to ask you, where is your armor? Are you wearing your armor? Not that slide yet. Where is your armor? Are you wearing your armor? Or is it sitting in a pile, nice and shiny, at home? Now for the slide. Whose armor are you wearing? Now, it's not easy to put on armor. It's not as easy as just a t-shirt and a pair of pants. But similar to our t-shirt and pants, armor comes in different shapes and sizes. We all hear about this in when David takes on Goliath. And he says, "I am ready. I am prepared to fight him." And they give him Saul's armor. At the time, Saul was a king. Saul was a warrior. He was a grown man. And David was but a mere shepherd boy. And that's what he looked like in that first picture. The armor was just so big, he couldn't really use it. It was kind of pointless to wear the armor. He couldn't move. He knew that he would be ineffective, inefficient when it came to battle. So he took that armor off. And what David did is David went back to the weaponry that he had tested and trusted in previous battles and knew to be effective. He had tested it. It had saved his life. He therefore trusted it and knew that he could continue to trust in that armor going forward. He then went and got his sling and his little pebbles, and he was able to take on a giant because he trusted the weaponry that he had been given. You see, we can't just put on anyone's armor. We can't imitate someone's behavior and think that that armor is the right fit. Following someone's armor, or following someone's behavior, someone of this world, is like David putting on armor that is too big for him. Instead, we need to ask the Lord for a revelation of who Jesus Christ is, that he is the one true living God, that he is the one that we need to follow. He is the one that we need to ensure that we are in union with his will, because his armor is a perfect fit for us. Or like Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, and you should imitate me just as I imitate Christ. You see, we need to make sure that we are imitating godly men, godly leaders, strong men of God who are doing whatever they can to imitate Christ himself. We can't just go and imitate our friend because it's easy, or imitate the latest influencer because, wow, they are so cool. We need to ensure that we are imitating godly men within our lives, within our congregation. So I want you to ask yourself, whose armor am I wearing? Am I wearing armor that doesn't really fit? Am I imitating people of this world? Or am I really imitating the godly leaders around me who are ultimately imitating Christ? My last question is, are you taking your armor to the blacksmith? You see, we've been told about this armor of God. We've been given these tools that we can use as a defensive weapon. But there is no point in having this armor if our armor is janky. What do I mean by janky? I mean defective. I mean broken. I mean dented. I mean kind of just hardly hanging on. But you see, those dents, that defectiveness in that armor is exactly what the devil is going to use in the next battle. In the next battle with you, he is going to use that defectiveness, that chink in your armor, that small gap, that hole, and he is going to hurt you. He might even kill you. So you need to make sure that you have that armor fixed. You see, back in the day, when these soldiers wore armors, they would go into battle, and they would come out of that battle with their armor, and their armor had done what it was supposed to. It kept them alive. But the armor would have received a beating and would have had dents and cuts and everything else. And what the soldiers would do is they would go to their blacksmith and they would sit there with the blacksmith. The blacksmith would pound and beat and mold and reshape that armor back into the way that it's supposed to be. And the soldier would be sitting there and the blacksmith would then hammer it away on one of those anvils and then he'd pick it up and put it on his head. No, it doesn't fit quite right. And he would try again. You see, the blacksmith is the one who does all the hard work. Us as the soldiers don't have to do the hard work. We just need to take it to the blacksmith. He will fix it. He will pound out all the dents and all the damage. You see, this is a joint effort. We have to be present. We have to actively take our armor. But the good news is that we do not have to do the heavy lifting. Jesus, our Lord, is our blacksmith, and he can fix that armor for us. But you see, the soldiers didn't do this out on the battlefield, right in the middle of a battle, run over to the blacksmith and have my helmet fixed. No, they waited for a time of rest, and that is exactly what we need to do. We need to find a time of rest. We need to find quiet time with the Lord. And then we need to go to the Lord and ask the Lord, inspect my armor. Help me identify the damaged, defective parts of my armor and help me to fix it. So if we consider the makeup of the armor, faith, truth, righteousness, salvation, the gospel, the word, where do they come from? Can they truly be found anywhere outside of Christ? These attributes that Paul uses to link the armor to can only be found in Christ. So you see, what we need to do is we need to invite the Lord into our lives to inspect our armor, to help us identify the armor that is damaged, to help us repair it, or to even help us identify imitation armor that we've been wearing. We've been copying or we've been imitating the wrong person. And we're going out into battle wearing armor, portraying characteristics that are not going to help us and save us in the battle. So we need to ask the Lord to help us identify that imitation armor. Penny, if you can come up, please. So a few things that I want to just reiterate is how we have these pieces of armor that are defensive items, defensive weapons, but we have the one attacking weapon. And with that attacking weapon, if we use it correctly and we use it consistently, we ensure that that sword is as sharp can be by laying scripture on our heart. So that in that time of battle, we can take that scripture to the devil and we can attack him. That is what we have been called to do. The start of this passage starts with a few words that we omitted. And it says, put on the full armor of God. Next slide. Here we go. 11 and 13 both say, put on the full armor of God. We might be wearing an helmet. We might be wearing the breastplate. We need to ensure that we have each and every weapon and tool that has been given to us, that they are ready for battle and that we are wearing them. But we need to do that every day. And unfortunately, it is not as cool as Iron Man when we can just stand there and it just gets put on us. You are called to action. You need to actively go to the Lord. Take what you are currently wearing. Go to the Lord and say, Lord, is this correct? Is this the right armor? Is this armor healthy? Or are there areas of my armor that are defective and damaged? And if so, Lord, you are my blacksmith. Help me to mold it and shape it into the way it's supposed to be. Whole, effective armor. James 4, verse 7, one of my favorite verses says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We are called to action. We have to do something first. You have to take your armor to the blacksmith and then sit with the blacksmith. You can't just take it to him and then walk away. He's going to fix your armor, but it's not going to fit you correctly. And the good news is that you don't have to do the heavy lifting. You just have to do it together with the blacksmith. You need to do it with the Lord. So take your life to the Lord. Go to Him. Actively doing it every day. There is no point having the shiniest armor out of everyone. And it looks so good to look at, but it's sitting over there at home. Every day is a battle. We need to make sure that we are wearing effective armor. So as I pray for us, you can all close your eyes. Psalm 139, verse 23 says, search me, God, and know my heart. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Lord, I ask that you come right now, as you have done at the beginning of the service, Lord, and inspect our hearts, inspect our armor. Are we wearing imitation armor? Or are we wearing armor that is damaged and broken? Lord, I come to you right now. I am coming to you. I am doing the first step, bringing my life to you, Lord Jesus. Will you not inspect my heart and identify what needs to be fixed? Lord, we thank you for your amazing love. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us these tools to take on this world, this fallen world. We thank you for the defensive weapons. We thank you for the attacking weapons. And Lord, we ask that you will just instill a revelation in each and every one of us right now, that every morning we wake up, we will come to you with our armor and ask you to fix it so that we can walk out the house wearing our belt of truth, our breastplate of righteousness, our helmet of salvation, our sandals of the readiness of the gospel of peace, our sword of the Spirit. Lord, we thank you.